Hey guys, before we start this show, I wanted to tell you about the Extreme Health Academy. If you are looking to overcome any kind of health challenge, you got some kind of nagging health condition you're dealing with right now, or maybe you are just like me and want to live to your 150 years old, the Extreme Health Academy is filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people just like you in an awesome community forum, and we are all there together supporting each other on our health journeys. And every single month we release brand new courses on disease processes of the body that you guys get to vote on. We have group cleanses. We have in-depth protocols. We have quick win videos. We've got a monthly Q&A mastermind session with Dr. John Bergman. We've got monthly mastermind hangouts. We've got the Extreme Health Challenge. Every single month, we give away prizes like the sauna, rebounder, Vitamix blenders, juicers, water filters, and so many great things for the Extreme Health Academy members. And if you want to join, I would like to give you a free 14-day trial. So just type in the code EHR14 at extremehealthacademy.com. That's EHR14 to start your free trial today. And I also wanted to tell you about this really awesome new technology from Magnetico Sleep Pad Company. And we've had Dr. Dean Bonley on the show talking all about how it works, why it works. But it's an incredible technology, basically bathing your body in magnetic fields all throughout the night for 8 hours every time you sleep. And the results have been like higher oxygen levels, reduction of free radicals, which causes aging and disease, better athletic performance, faster healing time, reduction in pain. This is incredible technology. We like to use it to combat the 5G and wireless technologies all around us as a way to ground our bodies to the electrical potential. And it's an incredible thing. If you start learning more about magnetism, you're going to want to start introducing magnetism into your life. And the Magnetico mattress pad is one of the best ways to do that. So make sure to check out the link for that on this show page, which is extremehealthradio.com/568. Okay, welcome everyone to episode 568. We have got a show. I'm just chomping at the bit. Oh my goodness.
I have to say, I've known you for, 16 years? I've never experienced a homecoming like a few minutes ago when you came home. You have a lot to unpack here.
Literally just figuratively chomping at the bit here. I've got so much to share with you guys. I just walked in from an oncology appointment with my mom and dad, and it was, I don't even know where to begin. It's like there's levels to everything, and on every level it was like
layers
upon layers upon layers of just of craziness, of programming, of fear. It was
I've never seen you like that. You came in and you brushed back by me and you said, "Hey, how are you feeling? You have time to do a podcast? Because I have to get this down." I've never seen you like this. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin. I'm like a pot that's ready to boil over and explode, or like a volcano ready to explode. This is just unbelievable. Okay, so for those that don't know, my mom is the reason why I got into all of this in the first place. In 1995, she was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she was given like a 5% chance of survival or something. And she had chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and a bone marrow transplant, which I transplanted and donated platelets for back in 1995. Back then, we knew nothing. So it was conventional all the way. And it was the most eye-opening experience, and is what eventually led me to starting this radio show. It wasn't the reason right away, but it was definitely what led up to starting this radio show.
Because you saw the suffering that people and your mom included went through?
Yeah. It was just a completely transformative, life-changing experience. And at that time, in 1995, I was about 20 years old, 21, and I didn't know, I didn't know how to process it all. It was just such a eye-opening thing for our family to go through. And I think that a lot of times people don't go through stuff like your parents are this way. where they've had relatively good health their whole life. And so there's nothing that rattles their cage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so this rattled our family's cages. And so I was forever changed by that experience. And again, it's what led me into doing this. So my mom was diagnosed a while back. How long ago was she diagnosed?
With this most recent?
Uh-huh.
Well, now they say it, what is it? It's a breast cancer, which she's never had, right? So mm-hmm. maybe 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Two months ago.
Yeah.
And the fortunate thing was she was diagnosed with this, and it was stage one, and it wasn't in the lymph nodes, which was really important. And I can't even put together. Okay, so it was...
From what I remember, stage one, not in the lymph nodes, very localized, could get a, quote, lumpectomy, take the thing out,
right,
be done.
Right.
That was the original.
That was it.
Like, yep, no problem.
Then they'd wanted to do some sort of chemotherapy and radiation agent at the time of surgery on site, like a local.
Right, like aim the radiation at the area just to make sure they clean up anything.
Right.
Could be residual, right.
Then that changed because I found out today that service is only offered in Newport Beach, California. So okay. They couldn't do that. So they had the lumpectomy. Everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went back in and said that it's like a what did he call it today? He called it the molecular margin.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
To try to further margin. Disempower people, right?
All right.
So
that sounds scientific.
Right. So they went in to go get the molecular margin. And so they did that. So they did a second surgery.
Yeah, like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
A second surgery. And they got everything. So I said to him today, okay, so she got the second surgery. Everything was fine. And then I talked to my mom and she said, oh, they're talking about chemotherapy and radiation. I said, really? For what? Why? And she goes, well, to
make sure. It's cleanup chemo.
Yeah, it's cleanup chemo, basically. Right. And I said, okay, so during the lumpectomy, they got everything? And she said, yeah, they got everything. And I said, well, why?
And the second surgery with the margin, whatever, like they said they got everything. Did
right.
they say that there was anything existing in there, or they were surprised they went in, there was nothing, and they sewed her back up?
He said there's like molecules that could be cancerous.
All right.
And as if everyone is cancer-free.
We all could slice me open right now, and I have molecules coming everywhere.
So I'm leading up to
going
to this appointment today with my mom, because she really wanted me to go. And we had a really great conversation with her about a week ago about language, about spirituality, about empowerment, and this mm-hmm. and all these types of really deep issues regarding cancer. And I was...
Because she was asking your opinion about, like, oh, gosh, do I do this cleanup chemo or do I do natural?
Right, right. So she was torn.
It led into like a 3-hour really good conversation.
Yeah, it was really a great conversation. And it would have been worthy of a podcast. You know, it was really
that
good.
Was a beautiful conversation.
So she wanted me to go with her to this appointment today. And, you know, I told her, she said, you know, if you want to ask any questions or if you want to, like, you know, ask the doctor, like, why, blah, 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 you know, like just questions about stuff that the doctors don't know anything about. And I said, no, I'm just here to support. Like, I'll just be here, you know? And I did.
You're not there to change his mind.
Yeah. I'm not going to go. It's not my job. I mean, some people feel like it's their thing to like convince.
A crusade, right?
Yeah. Crusade. I don't think anyone needs to be convinced of anything.
So you did ask some questions, but you didn't try to like change his mind. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's one of those things where it was one of those weird kind of situations where like, I didn't want to poke and prod him.
Mm-hmm.
Too much, because he's the one delivering. If my mom decides, which it sounds like she is going to do, she's going to do the chemotherapy. And if she goes through with this, like, I don't want to be, it's like, you know, you don't want to berate your waitress because they'll spit in your food.
Exactly.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't want, but I wanted to ask him some questions, and I said it, I asked these questions in a way that I wanted him to really think.
Good.
About things. And
you're good at that, by the way.
Yeah.
You're a good like critical thinker and a good poser of questions, I feel like.
And
to draw things out of you.
There's a scene in Good Will Hunting where Will is looking at one of the therapists he's talking to, and he looks at him with these eyes. And if you know the movie, you can probably picture what, but I just stared at this guy's eyes because I wanted him to like to really dig deep and be like, it would be amazing if I was one of the catalysts that helped him.
That he remembers that moment.
Yeah. Like right. Dr. Jack Cruz or Dr. Richard Massey, like they have these times in their life. But I didn't, I didn't set out to change this guy's mind because he's, and
well, first off, can I say that I wanted to go with you.
That's right. That's right.
This is even weirder. I wanted to go and support your mom and I wanted to hear the languaging of this. And so, cause your parents are coming over, I think tonight, right? To have a wrap up conversation.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
So we'll there's talk. A lot that we haven't even talked about. Cause I'm like, Kate, we got to record this podcast.
Yeah, you blew by me like a whirlwind. So let's just plug in the mics. But basically I said, I want to go to this appointment too. And your mom said, well, I'll have to call and make sure because it's kind of a small office. So she calls the doctor, the oncology office. And they said, oh, just you and maybe two other people at the most. Like, so she wrote me an email that was fine and said, you know, Justin will go with me and he'll be my other set of ears. And thanks for wanting to go. Mm-hmm. But I thought on that level, first, like who's to limit your team, who you want to have there to listen, to help you make like a life, possibly life and death situation.
Right.
Decision. So that bothered me because here I am like in our world, we take whoever, like when we have our birthing team come, we'll talk about this. Like
totally.
I can have whoever I want. I can, it's my choice.
Right.
So it's just funny that they already had told her and disempowered her and de-armed her of like
her team,
her team. So anyway, I wasn't able to go. So I'm hearing this for the first
time. Yeah. So,
all right.
So I want to get into this story because I think it's really important that all of us, take our health seriously and really start understanding so much more than what we're being disempowered by. It's primarily through the use of language, but I want to talk about this and I want to talk about an update on our birth.
Okay.
Because there's lots has happened since we last talked, but so
the birth that has not happened,
the birth, that, yeah,
the upcoming birth.
So we walk into the place and there's a salt lamp and there's a little, trickling, bubbling a little fountain there.
Happy and peaceful.
And then right above it, of course, is a television show and The Doctors was on. Oddly enough, right? The Doctors, like, so people are watching that. And then...
Were there other people in there?
Yeah, and there's a salt lamp and there's all these people came trickling in and I just felt like there's a younger guy that was probably... He looked like he might have been 30, but he was... probably 6'4" and had to have been at least 350 pounds. Just huge, big, looked like a football player. Like not fat, like
but
you
big.
Can't get out of your chair, but just a massive dude.
Okay.
And he was there for some sort of cancer. And
do they do the chemotherapy at this office, or it's more to like consult with the doctor on call?
No, they do the chemotherapy there.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
So there's an incentive, right?
I feel like that's the beginning of the yarn that you pull right now. Like, I feel like I'm just like, okay, already I see an interest.
I know. I walked. It's funny because we walked down the hall. They said, Josie, you know, and they called our names. And so we all get up and, you know, I'm just feeling really bad because I feel really bad for these people in the waiting room, first of all, because it's like they come running to a medically trained doctor. There's just so much going on in my mind. I feel bad for them in the sense that they're coming to a medically trained doctor who has nothing but chemicals to offer somebody. And this is so weird for me to be in this environment. Like it's such a different,
such a fish out of water.
Huh? Yeah. It is so unnatural. It's like a doctor's office and you go up these stairs and I took the stairs. My dad and I took the stairs, but it's this under all this fluorescent fake light, but they have a salt lamp. So they're trying to appeal to this wellness thing. There's all these like magazines that are all about health and wellness on the thing. It's like, I'm thinking to myself, the doctors, like, they want people sick. Like, they don't want people being healthy and well. And so all this, like, little subtle stuff was going on, you know, these little things. I just felt really bad for the people that were there because they just don't know. Yeah. No one knows how to take care of themselves. And so so they call us in, and then inside the room we went, and before we turned into the room, I looked to the right, and there's people sitting there with IVs. And my first thought was like, oh, they're probably getting like vitamin C IV or something. Or it's probably like a Myers cocktail.
Right.
And then I realized, no, that's chemo. They're sitting there in those recliner chairs like we did
with blankets on them and
Dayton Medical in Florida, with blankets on them. And we were getting
vitamin
Myers
C
cocktail.
And, right. Good stuff. Getting chemo.
And they were getting chemo.
How many people were in that room?
There's probably like three people in there that I could see. And I didn't go in. I could just see them, and I just the hopelessness that was on their face. Like,
were they all gaunt and bald and things? or was it?
I couldn't tell. One was a guy, one was a girl with something on her head. I wasn't sure if she lost her hair or not, but it was like, and she was sitting there with a caretaker. And I looked at them, and it's so hard because I looked at them. And I thought to myself, like, oh, poor people, they don't know. But then I thought, like, oh, I'm just judging everybody, you know, like, I'm just judging everyone. And like that caretaker that was with the lady with the hat on, you know, she could have been like me, just supporting her mom. And so I can't like judge all these people.
Right.
And so I got this kind of thing. And then you realize you're judging people. And then you're like, oh, I don't have all the answers either.
Right.
And so I'm trying to just
then
like.
You're just feeling bad for people.
Yeah. I just compassionate and I just feel humbled. And I just felt like, oh my goodness. And so that was like all going on in my head before we even walked in the room. Mm. Right. We've got this, all this weird stuff happening in the lobby with the.
Did your mom and dad catch? Like,
no,
no, they're just
no one caught,
the
catches
person
any
down the hallway. Okay.
So I naturally brought my magnesium water and my mineral water that I had, and I had my orange glasses on because I'm not going into a place like that without orange glasses.
And
unarmed, right? So we get in the room and we wait a few minutes, and the doctor has got.
Let me guess, cold and sterile.
He's got a Buddha thing in his office,
oh, okay.
Like a little Buddha statue,
all right.
And then he's got plants in there, and then he's got. What else did he have? Oh, another salt lamp and another little trickling, bubbling fountain.
Okay.
So it's like, okay.
That's surprising.
It's all like, right. I want to think that's good, but I also want to think like, or not want to think, but I feel like they're just trying to, it's like the medical industry is starting to use the word wellness.
Right, exactly.
And pharmaceutical companies buying up like nutritional supplement companies. It's like, you're trying to get into this field.
Yeah, people are hijacking holistic.
Exactly. So we get in there, and then he starts talking and comes in with he's got his white lab coat on, you know, all the way down, and he's got glasses on, so I know his eyes are failing him, and, you know, that's the first step towards ill health is poor eye health. And so I see him, and he's overweight, you know, got a big, not a big gut, but a substantial gut. And he starts talking to my mom, and he's, you know, starts talking to her in a kind
of
a...
Is this her doctor she already knows? She already has a relationship with him?
Yeah, this is the third time she's seen him.
Okay.
And he starts talking to her in a condescending way because my mom has ear, what do you call those?
Hearing aids.
Hearing aids.
Yeah, she can't hear well.
Yeah, so people think that she can't from probably chemotherapy.
Radiation, chemo, right.
But people think she doesn't understand, like she's stupid,
right.
But it's just that she can't hear well. It's not that she's stupid. So he starts talking down to her a little bit.
Because she's like asking him to repeat it or she can't hear him?
Yeah, yeah, and just kind of looking at him with like a glazed over face, like you not understanding.
Like she's trying. Okay, got it.
But, you know, he was nice about it, but he was like talking down to her. And it was like, any more of that and I would have said something.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like just nice enough to where it's like, okay, this is kind of awkward,
okay.
You know?
But you're like, she's hard of hearing.
But then he starts going over what she has. So you have this type of breast cancer. And I just felt like saying, no one has cancer. No one has cancer. But people's body, there's a difference between us and our bodies, people. Like, get your language straight. But he doesn't know any of that because he's just giving people a language virus.
And he's still using have, not had, even though she just had two surgeries.
Yeah, she had. So she said, so you have this kind of cancer, whatever. It is... We caught it in stage one, so that's good. But it's aggressive, but it's gone.
Okay.
And so he keeps going on and on about like, okay, this is what we're going to do with your cancer. And I'm like, your cancer, this is this is how we're going to treat it. And he starts going on and on all this. And he starts...
Like, he already has the plan, though.
Oh, he's got a whole plan.
Okay,
the whole plan. So
it's not even options. It's what they're doing.
This is what we're doing. This is how you treat it. And we can cure this. There's a 95% cure rate for this. And I said to him at one point, I said, okay, so what would happen if she didn't do anything?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good one.
You know? And he says... she would most likely pass away in 3 years.
Oh.
And I said, so you know that for sure that she, and he goes, well, nothing's sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but most likely she'd probably pass away in 3 years. And I was like, oh my gosh. First, doctor, do no harm. Where's your Hippocratic oath, you know, like, where is that? You know, and
wow.
Talk about, and he was talking about how he's like gonna, this is what we're gonna do. So the stage is, it's gonna be 12 weeks, once a week, 3-hour sessions, once a week of chemotherapy in the vein, and you have to have a port.
Oh, Lord.
It's because this is gonna go on for a year.
Even though there's no cancer in her body.
So one of the things I said to him, I said, okay, so what stage is this cancer? And he goes, oh, it's stage one. I said, okay, so stage zero is no cancer, right? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, so what was it before the surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, it's stage one. I said, oh, so is there any cancer there now? And he goes, no. And I said, so it's still stage one after they remove the cancer? He goes, yeah, these things don't go backwards. You can't go from stage zero, stage one to stage zero. I said, oh, okay.
What's the point of doing surgery? Oh, gosh. Okay.
Right?
All right.
And I said, okay, so...
critical thinking 101.
I said...
Doesn't make any sense.
I asked them, what else did I say? Oh, and then on this whole thing about doing nothing. And I said, oh, well that just means if she does absolutely nothing, but aren't there other things that she could do?
Good one.
And he goes, oh, none that will work.
Oh.
Okay. I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, nothing that's been clinically proven. I said, okay, so in terms of chemotherapy, like, what is the, what are the side effects? And he starts talking about, like, nausea and stuff like that. And I said, doesn't chemotherapy cause cancer? He's like, well, in a very, very small case of people, yeah, I mean, it can be related to, but there's been no studies to suggest that it's the causative factor. But we have to tell you that because there's risk with everything in life. You know, you can get in a car crash on the way home. You know, there's risk with everything in life. And I'm just like, I'm in my mind, I'm like, okay, I got to take notes. And I thought to myself, I should be recording this. But then that would be illegal for us to play that recording on the air.
Right.
So I tried to make the distinction to the doctor. There's a difference between not doing anything and not doing what you have to offer. There's two different things.
Totally.
Because I could go home and not do anything. Or I could do your offer of chemotherapy and radiation. Or I could...
come up with your own plan.
Come up with my own plan, which is not doing anything. It's my own plan, but it's also not doing what you're...
Right. But there's plenty of things people do. Anyway.
And he kind of sloughed off the whole idea that radiation and chemotherapy can cause cancer. And it was just more of this programming happening all throughout that was like the most disempowering thing. And it was like, this is how we're going to treat it. This is what we're going to do. And you know, if you don't do anything at all, like, you know,
good luck to you kind of thing.
Yeah. Good luck. And then at the end, he's like, okay, are you guys ready to commit?
Like sign on the dotted line?
Yeah.
No. How long was that meeting? Like 10 minutes?
No, the meeting was probably like a half hour. Cause he went through over. So he goes into like all of the different, like, okay, so you have a triple positive stage, which means like it's estrogen, dominant, and you know, whatever else. It's like there's so many classifications, and I can't believe at the end of it he's like, okay, are you guys ready to commit?
Oh my gosh, dude.
And my mom said, no, well, I think we're gonna go home and just talk about it, you know.
Good.
And he goes, okay, well, just make sure that, you know, we got to act fast on this, so like got to make sure that we start, you know, next couple weeks at least. So do you want to make another appointment and we'll talk again in a few weeks or a couple weeks, you know? I'm just like, oh,
did
my
she?
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She made the appointment.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to do it.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you think that?
Oh, it's the programming. The programming is because he told her there's a 95% success rate or more of this. How crazy is that?
So what did she say? Like, she said, we're going to go home and talk about it, but like in the car on the way home, did she say anything? Like,
well, the first thing she says was like, oh, like, she goes, so what do you think? And I just thought to myself, like, she said this before we got in the elevator. I took the elevator on the way down with her because, you know, I didn't want to separate from her. But, you know, my first thought was like, gosh, that's so how it is in our culture. Like, we want to know what other people think about, you know, things. Like, we don't have, none of us have like a compass of who we are and what we believe, you know, that's strong and rooted in anything.
I'll share that when we talk about the upcoming birth too.
Okay, yeah, like I want to get into that.
Doctors, but yes.
So I said, so it's so challenging, right? Because here we have one foot. We're talking about this with Anthony and his family, Anthony Anderson from Grow Paradise. You know, we all come from families that are just regular families, regular people. And, you know, and it seems like when you listen to people like us, like our whole family's on board. It's like David Wolf's cousin, you know, their whole family is on board with that.
We're so lucky. Our dads want to go do ayahuasca with us.
Yeah.
But Peru. And
couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
And so I felt honored that she cared about what my opinion was.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I felt like, okay, my opinion is not even who I am anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not my opinion. So there, I don't want to have this ego about like my opinion matters, you know? So I'm trying to separate myself. But then I felt bad for her on the other hand that needed to have my opinion to make her feel good about something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just put it back on her, kind of like how Dr. Stu did with you, with mm-hmm. the midwives.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. What do you think? You know?
Good.
And she just said, well, you know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the side effects aren't that bad and, you know, and like, it doesn't sound nearly as bad as the chemo I had before. And, you know, the success rate sounds pretty high. And, you know, and the whole time I was sitting in that room, it was a sales pitch. It was a complete discreditation of anything other than what he was saying, and he was basically just minimizing all the things that could go bad and highlighting all the quote success rate stuff. And I knew he's getting all this information from the pharmaceutical sales reps.
Of course.
You know, he's not getting any of this information from his own research.
What bothers me too is that, I mean, they offer it at the office. That always bothers me when nothing's separated. Cause you know that like the regular medical standard model is a referral system that frustrates the hell out of me anyway. But you know that like,
Say that again. And
like when I worked at the speech therapy.
Uh huh.
You couldn't take your kid to speech. You could take your kid to speech therapy and pay for it if you wanted. You don't have to get a referral from a doctor. But if you want your insurance company to cover it.
Oh, right.
You have to get your pediatrician to refer you our office.
That's right.
So that's how doctors are. They're all, you know, intertwined. So it's like, even if they didn't offer that service at the doctor you were talking about for your mom, if they didn't offer chemo there, they'd be sending her to somebody, you know, who they're in bed with, because that's how doctor's offices work and the medical system. But
how do we know that they're not getting a financial benefit too? Kickback.
Well, yeah, you hear stories like that all the time coming out, but it does really bother me that they do offer it right there. It's just like they're...
That's why, like, when I saw that, I thought...
Conflict of interest? Like, come on. Like, there's no, like... That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
They make it very easy though for people to like,
oh yeah.
I mean, that was scary what you said, how he's like, you ready to commit? Or it's basically like,
yeah, are you ready to commit?
Are you ready to walk over to, he would have probably slapped that IV on her today.
He would have. Yeah.
There's so many problems with this.
And so I felt, so when we were leaving,
oh man.
So I'm sure more things will come into my head because everything's so, I'm struggling to find the right words for everything right now because everything, it just happened.
Yeah, and you're processing.
And I'm processing it, and I'm sure the different parts of the conversation that happened will just hit me all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
But
you'll hear things he said come to you, and you'll be like, well, he also said that?
And he was just sitting there like so smugly, so sure that what he was saying is true. And so I was just looking at him in the eyes with like this look of like, not disgust or anger or anything, but I was just kind of giving him a stern stare.
Like, I see through you, or like, I see you.
Like, I know what you're doing. Mm. Like, I see right through you. Like, I know you're trying to, like, this is a sales pitch for chemotherapy, and I know what you're doing. And I hope that by me, the way I'm looking at it, you know that I know what you're doing. Because you're pawning this off in front of my parents, and they're buying it, but I'm not buying it. And I was hoping that, like I give him these extended stares when I'd ask him a question, you know, but I mean, I don't know. That's
do you think he really knows what he's doing?
I think that to be honest, I think that
he might be so brainwashed.
I think that he's incredibly brainwashed, which most medical doctors, almost all medical doctors are, because that's what schooling is. It's brainwashing essentially, whether it's even just
and then
the
continued training with the, you know, sales reps that come in.
It's brainwashing. Right. Yeah. But I don't know. There's a part of me deep down that wonders if this guy is ever, that might wake up one day.
Interesting.
Because just the way he looked at me. And I said to him one point, I said, Because I was blown away that he could use the word cure. I mean, I was so...
Yeah, it's so backward from our world.
Yeah, like we get put in jail for using that word.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And he's like, we this will cure you. And I said, and I looked at him.
He was allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because it's like they're the ones that write the laws, right? So I said to him, I looked at him and there was a big pause and I just stared at him. And I said, what do you mean by the word cure? And he like turns around. He's sitting on his swivel chair, you know? He turns around and then like faces me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really bizarre because I couldn't tell at this point. Was he like on to me?
Mm.
You know, did he know I was a detractor?
Or he's like, you're a mole.
So he pauses, turns his chair around, stares at me, and then puts one foot on top of the other, or like one leg over the other, you know, like a woman,
mm-hmm.
and puts his hand on his thing. You know, he folds his hands on his knee and says, what do you think I mean?
Did he really?
Uh-huh. And I just stared at him. I said, that's why I'm asking. I don't know. What do you mean by the word cure? And he goes, this means that the cancer will never come back again.
Whoa. And he's guaranteeing that by saying that.
Uh-huh.
Did you follow
that's
up?
Like so crazy.
Did you follow up with anything? Did you say like to that area? Like, what do you mean by that? That cancer, like that's one type of quote cancer that he's, because in their world, you have breast cancer or you have brain cancer or you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. There's all these different like,
right.
You know, sectors and like, compartments.
Compartments, right.
So it's like for him to say the cancer will never come back, is he saying in that area? Like, I would love to know what
he
meant.
Well, this was the thing, is because I think this is why he was a little bit, he basically wanted to put me in my place.
Yeah.
Because he was all dramatic about the way he responded. There's a big long pause and he just looked at me and it was like this awkward silence for, I mean, it felt like 20 seconds, but there's this awkward silence for probably about 2 seconds, you know, it's just really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, I don't know, what do you think? You know, to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, I don't know. I'm the one asking the question. I don't know what you mean by the word cure.
Yeah. Good for
and then he starts saying something. And then I said, does this mean, I said, oh gosh, what was it? I said, are you talking only about the first 5 years? Because I wanted him to know that like, the medical definition is a 5-year remission. You can die in year 6 and you will be a part of the statistics that your cancer was cured even though you died in year 6. So I wanted him to know that I knew that.
Good for you.
But I didn't ask him any further questions because up until that point, he was laying out the whole plan. This is how we're going to treat your cancer.
Mm.
And
this is the roadmap.
This is the roadmap. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking questions about it that I think got him a little bit upset. And so that's why when I said that about cure, because cure is a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
It's a strong word. It's a word that's like, you know, penalized. And if you don't practice medicine, you can't use it. And even if you do practice medicine, it's still a strong word to use. And so he just looked at me like,
wow, like he wasn't used to being like,
yeah. Like, is he going to throw me out of his office?
Wow.
Or this is really bizarre.
What do you think your parents thought of that?
I don't know. See, this is all the subtle stuff that goes on in my mind. I'm just in part of all this. And
Twilight
oh my gosh.
Zone.
And it was just so crazy because I was, it was as if they were appealing to people in the wellness. They're trying to get people well or whatever. And, you know, and then he said one of the side effects of the chemo was a suppressed immune system. I said, hey, wait, hang on. I said, isn't a suppressed immune system the whole reason why she's here in the first place? And he goes, oh, that's no. Like, what I mean by that is that this just makes the immune system be a little bit weaker so that it can't kill like bacteria and stuff. So if you get a cold and stuff like that. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, duly noted. Interesting. And so there's something else I wanted to tell you too. What was it? Oh man, I don't even know where there's so much happened that I was like, I wanted to take notes, you know?
So he was basically like saying that a weakened immune system is not what lets cancer in the door.
No. And I said one point, I said, oh doc, because like,
doc,
as he was leading up to it, I said, oh, so do we know like why did she get this cancer?
Good one.
You know, I just want to know. And he goes, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Bad luck, bad genes, as Dr. Bergman would say.
Right, yeah. And I'm like, we're sitting under fake light. If I had an EMF reader at that point, we were being radiated, I'm sure, to death in that room,
mm-hmm.
under fake light with chemicals everywhere. with a doctor that's giving us a language virus by trying to be an authority over our health and our body. And so all of this is happening in my mind, right, as we're sitting there. And I wasn't about to let him stand over us. So if he was going to stand, I was going to stand, because I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So then so then on the other side of all this was my thinking that, like, I don't want to be egotistical and feel like I know everything.
Yeah.
Because regardless of whether or not you call something a cure or not, my mom got chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and a bone marrow transplant. And she had a lung cancer, gosh, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and surgery, and got lobes of her lung removed in surgery. Right. And has gone through the ringer in terms of conventional help, chopping body parts off and organs out and all of this stuff. And she's still here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know what you want to call that. I mean, I can't go and say that, like, you know, she should have done
cannabis. Something.
Because would she be here still? I don't know. I believe she would, but you won't, you know, don't know until you actually, do a control with two of these identical people, you know?
Well, it just makes me feel like it goes to Dr. Bruce Lipton's work. I mean, it's like, what do you believe? Like,
right.
The biology of belief. And some people do believe that chemo and radiation will save them. And, you know, they put their full belief in that, and it still doesn't work for them. So I don't know why some people, I mean, is it that, I mean, your mom's gnarly. She's like a strong-willed fighter.
Totally.
So is it just that she fought to be here, or that God just had mercy on her and wanted her to? I mean, you'll never know. Like,
I know. It's crazy, right? So I'm trying to not be like, because I could feel like if I had that HRV, heart rate variability test, or, the thing that Dr. Massey has, I would have been in the red the whole time, because my whole inside was stressed and like fight. And this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And he is... You know, I'm just seeing all of this. It's a huge sales pitch, and he's trying to be, you know, the authority figure and talk about the things that he thinks he knows. And I'm seeing all this stuff, and I'm just like stressed. I'm like, this is not a place where people get healthy. This isn't a good environment, but I'm here to support my mom and whatever she wants to do. So, you know, I didn't want to get too egotistical, because, like, there are, you know, people who have done natural things and they've passed away too.
No, totally.
And is the ultimate litmus test of something that's successful, is it whether you live or die, or is it the spiritual growth that you happen,
what
that
you
happens
in the process,
as a result? And so I'm trying to weigh all this out and try to be humble about this whole thing and supportive. And one of the worst things that you could ever do is be a support to someone and start poking holes in their belief about a certain treatment. So I have to be okay with the fact that if my mom goes through with this surgery, or this, well, she's already gone through with two surgeries. She goes through the chemotherapy, the radiation. This is a 5-year thing. So she's going to be on, so it's a 12-week chemotherapy for 3-hour sessions once a week for 12 weeks. She has two different drugs that she's taking with the chemotherapy in that IV bag for 12 weeks, and she'll lose her hair and all of that.
Really?
Uh-huh. And after the 12 weeks, she starts, there's a 2-week gap, and then she starts radiation for 8 weeks. And the radiation is only like 8 minutes or something.
Like full, like body, like radiating every area, or just that like targeted?
I don't know. He said you'll have to talk, because there's a radiation doctor now that you have to go talk to. You can't just
refer you out to him now.
Yeah, you can't just be a holistic practitioner. You have to have, you know, I'm sure there's like different types of radiation doctors too, I bet.
Of course.
And so
one for your small toe, one for your right nostril.
So she's going to do this. So the radiation, and it's something else that she has to do as well.
5 years?
For a full year.
Okay.
But she's going to be on this
protocol,
on
something?
This pill that they have her on for 5 years. And that pill is going to block the estrogen receptor sites. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, what about like indole-3-carbinol, or what about high dose, like eating lots of broccoli that have all these sulfur compounds that does the exact same thing in the body? Or there's like, what are the essential oils? There's there's essential oil that's used for this, but basically it blocks the receptor sites for you. And there's all kinds of nutritional alternative things that will do the same thing as that pill. And then he starts going over the side effects of all this stuff. And at one point I go, so, but these are just like the effects, right?
Okay. Good for you.
And he's like, well, no, no, they're the side effects because, you know, very small percentage of people. And I was trying to like get him and I said, there's no such thing as a side effect.
Yeah.
There's an effect. You know what I mean? There's just an effect. This is the effect of the drug.
Does everyone lose their hair that takes that? Because how could you call that like a very small percentage? I mean, if there's certain things that are for everyone, they are an effect. Like,
I would just
love to know.
Like, I don't know if all, because it's so weird. Because once you start getting into that world, you start getting into drug names,
types, yeah.
All these drug names that he's throwing out at us. And it's like my mom, it was really confusing. And so he's, you know, we're asking questions. Okay. So like, when does this protocol start and when does this end?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's throwing out the names of the drugs as if like we remember them, like we're stupid for not remembering the names of the drugs, these chemicals. And so I tried to get him to understand that these things don't have side effects. These are the effects, you know,
of a drug.
But he just glossed right over it, said only like a couple, you know, like 3 or 4% of people and, you know, have these side effects and blah, blah, blah. He just didn't get it.
Is one of them death?
Oh yeah. I mean, sure. He doesn't say that, but yeah, cause this was, I mean, it was all sort of culminated at the end when he's like, okay, are you guys ready to sign up or what was it? Was that the
serious to commit?
Yeah, to commit. That's what it was. Yeah. Are you guys ready to commit?
Is he serious?
I'm thinking to myself, dude, okay, so should I, like, I could really piss this guy off and ask him, like, is there any financial connection between the company that produces the chemotherapy and your office and your practice? Is there any connection going on here? Or, you know, is there any kickback happening? Like, what's going on? But it's like,
couldn't go there.
No, not before he treats my mom, you know?
Right.
And,
He puts like Kevorkian on her.
So my mom was asking about like the first thing she said in the car was like, oh, you probably disagree with everything the guy said, you know? I said, no. I mean, you know, if you want to do it, I support you, you know, like I totally support you. And I said, like, you know, it's not that chemotherapy and radiation doesn't work because it does kill cells. It kills all cells. And, you know, the collateral damage from that is really intense. And the question is whether or not you want to go through that or not. And, but when he said, I said, if she doesn't do anything or if she doesn't do this, you know, what will happen to her? He said, most likely she'll be dead in 3 years.
He didn't use the word dead, did he? He said,
pass away.
Make it a little kinder.
Oh my gosh. I tell you, it is so bizarre being in that world. Like that is such a...
Could you sense her fear level like change? Did you look at her face or like when he said that to her, did anything change for her?
No, I don't know that she fully understood or if she heard him say that. But the reason why I asked that question is because I already knew that she was going to go through with this because my dad had kind of told me a little bit that she was thinking about it. And once you get into a doctor, I mean, they're master salesmen. So the reason why I asked that question is because if she's going to go through with it, she needs to believe that it's going to work. And I don't want to put any doubts in her mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the fear is pretty intense with her.
Yeah.
And with everybody regarding this. So I wanted to get a gauge. I wanted him to understand a little bit about the questions I'm asking. And I wanted him to get a gauge as to what we're asking about this. And for him to say those words were pretty intense. And so I was curious if he would have any kind of real answer to that question, because I'm really curious about that actually. Cause I want to know, like, doctors have no idea where cancer comes from. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get his, if he gave me some kind of good answer, that would be interesting to me, but he gave me the standard answer.
I don't know.
And then also, if she didn't do the chemotherapy, what would be her fate?
Right.
And so I didn't mean to put fear in my mom's heart, but that was also, I was helping the doctor sell her on chemotherapy because I know that she's not going to go natural. So I wanted her to believe what the doctor was saying. So it was this weird, like multi-layered psychological, spiritual drama that played out. It was so crazy.
So funny for somebody to be so sure that you'll be dead in 3 years, but they don't know what causes it. And they're sure that if you do it, you'll have a cure.
Yeah.
It's just like, how are you so sure and unsure? And it's like, you're bipolar and all that you're saying.
It's so crazy, right?
Oh.
I almost want to, next time, I want to give this podcast to him.
Yeah, I know. You should.
You know, but I don't, it's like, this, you know, these people get to live their own lives. And the same way with my, you know, parents, it's like, I would support them no matter what. Yeah. And it's like, it's not my job to tell people what to do. And so that was the hardest part for me too, is just to completely let go and support my mom. Like, how hard is that?
Very.
And if she, if this chemotherapy does shorten her life,
And that's her.
Then that's her journey that she got to choose, you know? And
Well, it's interesting. Like, if she were to ask you, like, last time they came over here a week ago, we had that great conversation, and she said, "What should I do?" And you said, "Well, I don't know. You know, that's your choice." Mm-hmm. But if she were to ask you now, what would you do? Would you be honest? Because I would. If she said, "What would you do?" I would say, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
You're treating a cancer with chemotherapy and radiation of a cancer that doesn't exist.
Right.
And he admitted that one of the quote side effects was future instances of cancer.
So my question is, why, like, there's so much, like, if she goes back, I'd love for her to ask him, like, well, right now you call it stage one, even though there's no visible cancer in my body.
Right.
Or whatever. You know, I had these surgeries. You say there's nothing, but you call it stage one. Can't they always revisit that in 6 months and a year by, like, I mean, just standard doctors, don't they? They do tests. I mean, your mom has been scanned for years and years just to keep an eye on things. Like, she had a spot on her lung one time. And she had a spot here and she had a spot there. But, like, why isn't there an in-between? Like, there's A and B and then there's C. Like,
you mean, like, if 6 weeks in they look and they see that it's working and they stop the protocol?
No. Like, what if she doesn't do anything for 6 months and gets retested? And there's still nothing, or it's this quote stage one, and then she goes another 6 months, and then say 2 years down the road, it, God forbid, was growing again, and she's like, okay, now maybe I'll consider that. I mean, why can't you do more? Why is there no option to do surgery again in 2 years if a mass grows back? Why does it have to be? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense from a practical perspective, but you and I both know the answer.
It's all
to
money,
that.
But
yeah. Isn't that weird though, right? I mean, it seemed to make so much sense. Perfect question to ask. You know, there's so much happening in
my
mind.
Isn't that just like 101, like thinking? Like, well, it's not there now, so why don't we wait?
Right. But they're telling her that it's invasive. And well, it's like, okay, show me on a microscope and show me pictures
you're talking about.
Of what invasive means, how invasive. Like, this is one of the things that, like, we're talking with her about before. Like, you know, we need to be proven these things. There's stories of doctors, medical doctors, illegally diagnosing people and giving them chemotherapy in order to make a profit.
Right.
The people who were cancer-free never had cancer.
Right.
So, not saying this is the case here, but, like, what do you mean? This is like, so when we were going through, he was getting a little bit upset that I was asking so many questions. And I think that's why he spun his chair around and put it back on me, asking me what I meant by the word cure. Uh-huh. And I just threw it right back on him because, hey, you're the expert here.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to know everything.
You have all the answers.
We're just a lowly dumb people who don't know how to take care of our bodies. You're the one that's going to answer questions. And he doesn't understand that the person that answers the questions is subject to the person who asks the questions. So, what was I saying about a second ago? I forgot.
Shoot. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, just in general, like, your point is so true. And people should, like, monitor it, and then, you know, like, for a stage one cancer, like, that's crazy that they want to do all this stuff, but it is,
well,
it's designed to make money.
My whole thing is though, like, oh yeah, because you said it's invasive and you want to see it on a microscope.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
show me the aggressiveness you're talking about.
Prove, like, this stuff to me. Prove it. Show me what invasive means. He was talking about some of the side effects. See, the devil's in the details with all this stuff. He was saying, you know, with the side effects, okay, nausea, vomiting, you know, vertigo, hair loss. But what are we talking about? Are we talking, like, what kind of nausea? If I'm going to really put these chemicals into my body, let's just talk about nausea for a minute.
Right.
And if you don't have time to talk about that, and you just want to get me signed up for
it's
chemo,
my life.
You're not my doctor.
Totally.
And if there are no doctors, I would rather die than to have a guy trying to sell me this thing and not even answer any questions about it.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of nausea?
Because it's so different. Nausea that knocks you out for, like, you're in bed and you're weak. It almost kills you just because you're so nauseous.
Hair loss. I mean, are you talking about every hair on my body? Because you said hair loss, but he didn't distinguish. He didn't even say it will grow back. Like, so I'm assuming it'll grow back because it always does. And I don't think there would be a problem. But if I want to know that question, will it grow back? Like, mm-hmm. you didn't even specify that.
To me, it's a 5-hour conversation if you're even going to consider.
Oh, yeah.
It's no half hour. Like, that's just a bunch of crap. Like,
yeah.
I've talked more, like, I've had 2-hour conversations with naturopaths and still been like, I don't know. I'm still going to think about things. And and they were recommending good things. But I'm like, this is my body. This is my health. This is my future. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, like, throw that kind of stuff at me in a half hour and want me to sign on the dotted line, like, that's a joke. But my whole thing is, who is the original doctor that she had? I mean, I'm not asking the name, but like, why did this first doctor that she had say, it's not aggressive, it's just a simple lumpectomy, all you need is a surgery, we're done.
Right.
And now there's this guy saying it's the most aggressive thing. Like, put them at a table. Like, what's the, like, why? Like, has she contacted the first doctor? The first doctor was the first doctor the one who recommended talking to this oncologist? Because that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I asked my mom, where did you learn about this guy that we just saw today? And she goes, oh, he's recommended by another doctor. And I always think recommendations, like, you know, in full disclosure, we recommend products all the time.
Yeah.
But it's because we stand behind them, use them, and know a ton of people that use them themselves and know the people that make them and all this stuff. But I feel like doctors are doing it underhandedly. Like, who's to say that original doctor doesn't get a kickback? If this second doctor that we visited today gets chemotherapy or gives chemotherapy, and like, wouldn't...
That's why all these recommendations, this is why the whole system bothers me so much.
And he's like, oh, so it could suppress your immune system, but we would use this drug for that.
I know.
And then, oh, you know, it could, if it does do that, then we would just give you an antibiotic and that will take care of that.
If you get nausea, you get this. If you get this, you get this. Oh, no, you're gosh.
All for someone who doesn't have a cancer. She doesn't have a cancer in her body. They took it out. It's insane.
And it wasn't even like it was this quote stage 4 or whatever they want to scare you with numbers. It was like this tiny.
Yeah, it was like
tiny. Was it like half of a?
I think it was 1.2 centimeters or something. It was tiny, just a lump, you know. And then so like, if you do this, then we'll give you a drug for that. And there's this drug. If you're a suppressed immune system, oh, that just means your immune system it's only, you know, can't fight off bacteria, so you could get a cold. So we want to make sure, and we'll do blood testing every single week to make sure your cholesterol level is nice and low, and your
your liver functions good, and blah 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 blah.
Nice and low. People die from low cholesterol.
I know.
My God, it's like, where does this end? These people don't. One day we're going to look back at this as a culture and just be blown
barbaric.
Away.
Barbaric. Just barbaric stuff going on.
Yeah. It's, and I'm sharing with you probably about 10% of what I remember.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it'll continue.
There's still so much.
Yeah. You came home so fired up. Like,
and I just feel like part of the thing with doctors, what people see, doctors are going to be really upset. Professions that are like doctors and teachers are going to have real issues with people because people are becoming smarter.
Yeah.
So I would highly encourage everyone to do, when your doctor says and glosses over side effects or glosses over terms that they're trying to give you, like, this cancer is invasive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how do you know it's invasive? Like, you could say that, I'm a good basketball player.
How do you know?
Compared to someone who can't walk or compared to Michael Jordan. How invasive is this? And what determines whether or not you say that? So what we need to start doing with the people, and I don't even want to call, because on the way home, my parents were talking about, oh yeah, he was my primary doctor before this or that or the other. We don't have doctors. Mm-hmm. He's not my doctor. He's a doctor you go to, you know, when your body's not feeling good. But I'm not going to have a doctor. I'm my doctor. Mm-hmm. I don't go to a primary doctor. But we need to start, when you do go to the doctor, start putting them on the
spot.
On the spot and asking them.
That's what you're paying them for. But they don't like that. They're
no,
so
they
used
don't
to
like
just...
That.
You know why, though? It's because they have had 99 out of 100 people go through their office. Just like 99 out of 100 people go through like a zombie and just go, yes, 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 sign on the dotted line. Okay. We get that one pot stir. Then they're shocked by it. It's almost like, what? I'm so used to people just trusting me and saying yes to me and coming in this office and, you know, sitting in that room. And it's like, who are you to...
And just bowing down before
they're
me.
They're so shocked by... some of those questions.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the most eye-opening, disempowering, bizarre situation I've been in a long time, full of fear, full of authority. It was a
major eye-opener.
Man, it just makes me more motivated to take better care of my health and to inspire others and give people tools and help, you know, for them to... Because I'm looking at these people in the waiting room just, man, like, man.
So bummed.
Like, oh, felt so bad for them. And no one knows. Like, no one. People are just watching the doctors on a blue-lit screen that's giving them cancer. And it's just, and they're getting programmed by watching the content of the doctor show anyway.
Hmm. Well, I'm seeing a pattern, and we can talk about, like, this going into our other talk, but. Like, the doctor that I was, quote, recommended to for this high-risk twin thing at the beginning.
Oh, the one we saw together in, yeah.
That we went to.
Over by the ocean.
Over by the ocean firehouse.
By the ocean.
But same thing, where you walk in and we're like, oh, first thing we see is a salt lamp.
Yeah.
Then you see a little bamboo plant, and then you see a little fountain, and you're like, oh. And then the same thing, though. You look up, there's a TV, and all it was playing was pharmaceutical commercials. We've talked about this on our other show, I think.
Right.
We talked about this. But, you know, it's all this... like merging, like you said, of holistic and wellness. And,
right.
You know, they're using those terms and they're trying to make their office feel like a holistic, naturopathic.
Yeah. Remember that?
Wellness spa.
Remember that nurse that was looked like she was off the clock and she's walked out?
No, it was a pharmaceutical rep. A pharmaceutical rep walked in.
Oh, okay.
And she had some stuff to deliver. And so we're watching it, you know, we're just kind of like watching, going, this is kind of a weird experience. We're trying to filter out, like, what is this place? I've heard that this doctor's more natural minded, but I'm confused.
Right.
Yeah. So she walks in with her bag and then 5 minutes later walks out, and some nurse comes after her and says, hey, while you're here, do you want to get I have time to give you a flu shot real quick, you know? Sounded like it was a complimentary. And she goes, oh. So she walks back and got her flu shot.
Remember, she was like, oh, do I need it? Or did I get one already? And she's like,
oh, gosh.
And it was like the front desk ladies were yelling back at her.
Yeah,
I think you do. I don't think you got it. She's like, I don't know. Do I need it? No, I'll just go get it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Her life. You and I looked at each other and thought, man, her life could forever be changed by that little decision.
One seemingly benign injection of something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she just went back and stuck out. And then it was like 1 minute later, she's out the door. Bye, guys. You know, mm-hmm. I thought, this is not the office for us. But.
Not the office for us. Do you need to leave?
I do. I need to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Do you want to?
Can we pick up and tell the story in a little while?
Sure. Tell the story?
Just the birthing stuff.
Yeah.
Going on. Yeah. Let's finish in a little bit.
All right. We are back on the mics.
We made a little coffee.
Little coffee snack.
Coffee snack.
Yep.
I got to go to the bathroom. Much necessary.
Much needed.
Put up my feet for a minute. I'll tell you, this being pregnant thing's not for the week.
No, that's been a completely separate thing that we have going on right now. You're about 1 month away from giving birth. I find it really interesting that this thing is happening with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
at the same time.
At the same time that life comes in, life goes out.
Right.
Or things happen. I mean, we have our next door neighbors or your grandparents. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with a brain cancer and some issues like that. And it's just interesting that, like, yin and yang.
There always seems to be. You hear that a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to God it's not your mom, you know?
Right,
but,
me too.
Yeah, I don't know. But with every, you know, new life, it's just the cycle. And it's kind of hard. But when you approach it, like, spiritually, you know, like, with a spiritual, I don't know, nature more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying to you, like during that break, it's, we'll talk about the pregnancy too, but I was talking about your mom, and I thought, like, in the 17 years I've known you or whatever, she's, you know, she had overcome that non-Hodgkin's lymphoma a few years before I even met you. So that's always been part of her story, and your story is this cancer and blah, blah, blah. And then
right.
Everything is throughout the years have been like, you know, her next scan and her next trip to the, you know, oncologist, and her next trip for the PET scan and the next trip for the CAT scan. And then every 6 months monitoring this, and then something flares up and then it goes away. And then she's had a few, like, she has had some stuff. She had a heart attack. She had a couple different kinds of cancers surface and then go away. But they've never been like anything like life altering.
Right.
You know, like
right.
Not like the first time she had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to you, it's kind of sad though. It's not like she's ever truly lived.
Mm-hmm.
She's buying herself years and breaths, but what's she doing with them? It's
mm-hmm.
like she hasn't done, I'm not trying to judge, but it's like, man, you think that people, you hear stories of the people that get a second chance
mm-hmm.
and they're going out and they're just living, mm-hmm. you know, it's like.
That's like, what's his name? Do you know Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Okay.
Who was on our show, remember,
yeah, yeah.
A while back?
Well, did he have that story?
Well, he didn't have a disease kind of a deal, but he was participating in a triathlon in Palm Springs. And I'm not sure if he was riding a bike part of the triathlon or running, but he basically got hit by a car.
And that's where his whole debilitating back thing, and he was, I think he couldn't walk for like over a year. And he told God, if I ever can come out of this, and he developed a whole strategy on how he came out without surgery and all this stuff, like basically mind over matter kind of a situation.
Wow.
And you can listen to that episode, but basically it was like that, you know, he said, I will teach people for the rest of my life about this technique that I'm using. Yeah. And
well, Dr. Bergman, like I mean, that. You know, he got hit by a car too, walking across the street, and it changed the course. He was in construction.
Was he walking or was he driving?
He was. I was asked him the other day. He said he was walking.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
And that changed. I mean, he's become this chiropractor that people travel around the world. I mean, he's our chiropractor and our partner in the academy. But hearing him talk about, I mean, that stopped him on a dime. And so it's like, you know, and he changed courses, and he has as well committed his life to helping people recover. And you know, being in that kind of situation, you think that, you know, most people, you would hope that most people would have this life altering.
Right. You want them
to. Yeah. But a lot of people don't. They go back to just like doing whatever they're doing.
It's weird because, like, you know, my parents are going to come over tonight and I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, because the idea of being able to talk was to kind of mull over options and things like that. But like, It's so crazy how weird our culture is, because it makes things so easy. Like we talked about this before, I'm not sure on air or off air, but like if you want to go give birth, all you have to do is just sort of close your eyes and go get Pitocin and get the drugs,
epidural,
and you get to just check out of the whole process. If you get chemotherapy and radiation, you get to kind of just check out of the whole process. But when it requires like a complete lifestyle change, it requires like a mindset change. It requires a complete change in how you view the world and what you let in. And it requires a whole level of personal growth that needs to happen on one layer, which is a whole path of life that people should be pursuing always.
Right.
And then on top of that is another layer of spirituality. And opening up in that way and growing there, and on a layer, you know, below that, maybe it's finances, or maybe it's relationships, or maybe it's a deep spiritual work that you have to like tune into. And then there's the physical layer of completely changing everything about your life and how you interact with the world. Then there's your thoughts and like meditation and what you eat. And it requires like a complete and total shift of your entire life.
Right.
That, if you go get chemotherapy and radiation, it's easy. You don't have to
do
that.
You can just check out and like, and trust it. It's wanting to hand the reins over to somebody else. It seems like the easiest option.
Yeah, it's just so true. You know, I mean, it's such a deep
to take responsibility for you to make those changes. It's just a really hard. It's not an easy road, you know, and it's not for the weak. But I feel like it's, you know, and it's like, we were talking at the break too, and we'll go on to the birth, but like you were saying, you know, if this doctor said, you know, at best it might give you 3 years before you pass away, which is crazy in itself to even put that out there. But
right.
Like what are those three years going to be full of? Like,
right.
If you're here to learn what you're here to learn, then it's almost like if you can just work yourself into becoming okay with whatever God's plan is for you, whatever you trust that you're here to do. And when your purpose is done, you're kind of done and you're okay with that, then it takes the fear out of everything, you know?
Right.
And you're able to really live, you know, you're able to live. And I think
let go and live.
Yeah. And living is not just, I mean, sure, it's about having fun and, you know, finding things that make you joyful and happy and smiling and laughing. But like, I really think that living is your purpose. Like,
yeah.
What's your purpose?
There's an interesting way of looking at it that I've heard before, that God is like, it's almost like, you know how we quote allegedly send probes to Mars, you know, and that kind of stuff. Well, it's like that in the sense that God is looking to learn and grow through us, through his creation. And so when people stop learning and stop growing, the need and the necessity to have them there for God to use to fulfill his purpose is no longer there.
That's interesting.
And so it's like, it's almost as if like, you know, you send, if you're God, you send probes out and you live your life through your probes. And so, and it's the probes' ability to take in the environment, to learn and to grow and to overcome things and to be a spiritual being and to be closer to each other and to you. And when a being stops doing that, then their reason for needing to be on the earth is no longer there.
Right.
And so that's what, like, you know, why it's so important, I think, as we age, to always be learning and growing stuff.
Right.
You know, growing ourselves and learning new things, you know.
Well, like my grandparents next door, you know, my grandpa's wife, it's so crazy. Like, she was diagnosed, I've shared this, I think, before on one of the previous shows, but with, like, I mean, I think it was some kind of brain tumor, brain cancer that was really, really evolved.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Aggressive, or whatever you want to call it, and had brain surgery. And she's, what, 82 or something?
Uh-huh.
And then they followed up with a radiation, whatever. Well, you know, the doctor told her the same thing. Like, at best, the surgery will give you a year. And it's been a year this month. It's coming next month, June.
Oh, really? I thought it was more than that. Okay.
It's been just about a year. And the last time they scanned her, she was 100, you know, the MRI, there's zero cancer anywhere, which is amazing. But her quality of life sucks. Like,
yeah.
That treat or the surgery alone, I mean, anytime you go under the knife, but in your brain, I mean, she's not like, she's can talk and she's with it and she gets back up, but she sits in a chair all day long. I mean, she has a walker. She's barely able to get up on. She has 24-hour help, like someone living in her house. You know, it's just like, that's not a quality of life.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
To me. So it's like, yeah, maybe it bought you a year, like,
of living and breathing.
And to say, maybe you're, you know, if you think you were dying, like, say goodbye to people. And, you know, there's the value in that, or wrapping up, you know, forgiveness or things that you.
Right.
But, and I don't know if she's done any of those things. In fact, it seems like
the opposite, right?
The opposite. Like, you know, she had a daughter who was murdered brutally, like, years and years ago when her daughter was a teenager.
In the mid-70s, yeah.
Yeah, and said to this day, after they found the murderer, it was like this cold case and it's finally been hacked. She said, I will never, ever forgive this man. So it's like, wow, if, you know, if you're not here to forgive and to learn something or to add back to society, you know, like,
that's why we're
she's
here.
Just sitting in a chair watching Jeopardy all day, and it makes me really sad. I mean, we hear the ding ding of the game shows all day long, and it's been like that for a year.
I know, it's sad.
So yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it sucks to say, but at some point you're like, then why? I mean, not to sound horrible, but like, why are you taking up space when there's these souls that want to come in that are purposeful? And it's just, you know, I think they've,
it sounds really elitist.
I know, but other people have lived their lives and they've had their chance. And if they're done, I mean, are you kind of just done? I mean,
are you artificially extending life that shouldn't be lived?
I know,
you know, that's a good question.
But then you get into the whole, like, yeah, playing God thing. And
yeah,
we're all playing God to some extent. You
know? And that's why it's like, okay, we, you know, it's like no one really has the answers to these questions. So it's like, when it's your family and these things happen, it's like, you know, that's why we're all here to support. I mean, part of my journey is to let go of things, you know, and to let go of my own health, of my own life, of my own opinions and desires and wishes and attitudes and everything, to let go of it all, realizing that none of it is truly me, and to allow the process of evolution to happen and to not get in the way of that. And I like what Dr. Massey says, that, like, you know, a current generation should not ever tell a generation above them what to do or how to live. That's for them to do. So kid to a parent doesn't tell a parent what to do or how to live. That would usurp the natural order, because they were here first on the earth, and it's their life to live, and that's not for us to mess with. And so in this regard, it's like all about just helping and serving and being a support.
Right.
But I just felt like I had to get all that off my chest, because it's like, oh my gosh, like, so much craziness going on, you know? And then on the same flip side of that, we have these two amazing twins that are going to be born, and you've had the most challenging, I was just telling you before during the break, that, you know, like, going through something with Grace is, you don't feel like you've done it. But I feel like you have, and it's just been a really challenging pregnancy.
You're kind. I feel like I've wrote my friend Jessica. They're pregnant with their first two coming up here in a couple of weeks, and I likened it to throwing myself off a cliff and just hitting every single
bump
on the way down. Like, there's been nothing, because everybody's like, "You're doing so good. Like, you know, you've had these twins in here, all these problems, and this fibroid, and you're still." And I'm like, "Dude, like, I just feel like I'm floundering. I've hit every single. I mean, this has been super humbling.
Yeah, totally.
And super." Oh man, that's been the biggest challenge. It's funny, because I don't want to call it a health challenge, because being pregnant isn't a medical, you know, like we always say, it's not a medical problem.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to the hospital to deliver if I don't have to, because it's not a medical crisis.
Right.
It hasn't come to that, you know, like, if there's a medical emergency.
Right.
Sure. But, like, that's why we're planning what we're planning, and we're trying to bring these little souls in the best, most gentle way possible. But
so we're,
yeah, I feel like it's been graceless, but thank you. Like, I feel like I'm just like, along for the ride, which is funny. I mean, it's one of the only things in life that you do have little control over anything, but mm-hmm. I feel like, man, when somebody else is invading your body, it's really not about you. You just really can't do much about it. You just hold on and you try your best and you feed them good nutrients and try to treat your body right. But I have not done everything perfect by any means.
It's interesting too that like we are, all of us are sort of getting in the way of life. Like, you know, life just wants to be expressed, or life just wants to live, like Dr. Stu, or who was it saying something to us recently about how a woman can give birth while in a coma?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was
Was a midwife? Was it our midwife?
Oh, it was our Jessica? Our hypnotist.
Right.
We have a medical hypnotist that came over and spent 3 hours with us to work on pain levels, and she said, "Yeah, women's body." But I think she was quoting Dr. Stu.
Was she?
The doctor we're using to, you know, help birth these kids. And
if anyone's in the Southern California area and wants to use Dr. Stu, he's incredible.
Dr. Stuart Fishbane. He's amazing.
Yeah. He focuses. He doesn't do any hospital births anymore. He does only strictly home births.
Or birth center.
Birth center.
Out of hospital.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did say. She's like, she quoted him saying, "Dr. Stu will always say on his podcast." And by the way, he has an amazing podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You just look up Dr. Stu's podcast. It comes right up.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
How funny.
But yeah, he says women, you know, give birth in comas. I mean, your body knows what to do. It's like you just get out of your own way and let the process happen. But yeah, we've been through the ringer, through the journey of just figuring that out. I can't even imagine, like, when these kids come, then we have a whole new set of decisions to make and things. Like, I mean, I'm glad we're coming from where we're coming from, but man, has it just been a lot of prayer and seeking and frustration and me wanting to give up at times and just give in because it's just been so hard.
It's been an incredible journey. So we're about 8 months along, and the triumphal entry for the babies is going to come probably in about a month or less from now.
Hopefully less.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. But like you said, like, they'll come when they're ready, you know, and I think they're holding on. Dr. Stu is actually in Portugal a couple weeks. So if we can hold on till the beginning of June, just keep them in there a little bit longer, which is great because I think it's better for everybody. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting though. Like, this has been such a gnarly, hard pregnancy that, like, I hope I can report that I'm pleasantly surprised
at the
actual birthing process of them.
I think you will be. I think it's going to go much easier. I think all the struggle and all of that, I think the worst is behind you.
I
think it's going to go really well.
I'm trusting you.
Putting that out there.
Yeah. And it's been cool to work with, like, hypnotherapists versus...
Well, you were upset, though, because it wasn't working. And
no, but I think it's we still have two more sessions.
Yeah.
But I was frustrated in the middle of the night the other night because I'm like, the night that she came over and we did it, it seemed peaceful, and then she left, and during that night was one of the worst nights I've ever had, and I thought, how am I supposed to buy into this? Like, I can't self-hypnosis, like, myself. My pain level was just worse than it had ever been, and I got really, really mad. I'm like, why? Like, well, I can't do this because nothing's working for me. My pain has just been the pain has been just off the charts.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Kate's body has a 9-centimeter fibroid, which is massive. Looks like a big pancake. It looks like if you stacked like 6 pancakes on top of each other. And that's what it looks like sticking out of her stomach with the twins. And so when that thing moves, it's attached to the wall of the uterus. And when it moves, it's like, it presses up against the underneath of her skin, and it just causes all kinds of pains. I think we put a few pictures on Instagram about it.
Yeah, it's great. If you guys want to check it out, it's pretty funny. I have this lumpy stomach that just shifts all the time. Like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, this has been a really challenging...
lumpy pancake stomach.
And I thought it was interesting. We talked about this before, about you developing a super uterus as a result of a baby dying before you, you know, that your mom miscarried with.
Really late.
Really late. And so you're developing a super uterus, which is interesting that the fibroids actually attach to the wall of the uterus. So
to be able to kind of carry, like Dr. Massey, we had such an interesting conversation with him. He said that's about carrying my mom's pain, really, and developing something that's a different situation than she had when she miscarried. So, I mean, there's a reason for all of it. But then you had lost a twin brother really late on, I think about 4 days before your mom delivered. She said, So it is funny we're getting these twins coming back around, but
yeah, it's almost as if one twin represents the boy that was supposed to come before you, and the other twin represents my brother,
right?
Which is interesting.
Two brothers.
Yeah, I mean this whole thing it's just an interesting time in life for us, and it's been super challenging, but then super growth, like we're talking about before. You know how when people, I don't know if you guys have watched any of the videos that Dr. Bergman does, but he's so funny because like he'll be talking and he'll be talking about something like super, super boring, like some research he's done into some chemical. And he's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, this molecule.
You
got to
check this
out.
Oh my gosh. You know, and he gets all excited about it. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, that's what life is, like being really passionate, being excited about something, learning something, growing or discovering something new where you're just like, oh my gosh, this changes everything. Or I never thought I'd be interested in something like this. Or, oh my gosh, like I got to go down this rabbit trail, or I got to learn this new skill, or I'm super into playing basketball and, you know, I'm painting or artwork or writing books, like some new thing that you're super passionate about.
Living.
That's why we're here, to do all that stuff, you know?
Sure.
And to,
grow. And that's what's cool is, like, regardless of what's going on with our other family members, like, this is a big, like, we have life coming in. So it's like, I want to focus more on life. Mm-hmm. I always want to focus on life.
Yeah.
And growing and learning. And this is, like, it's cool to find this in the midst of other challenges, you know?
Yeah.
But talk about empowering. I mean, people like Dr. Bergman in your life or Dr. Stu, like, Dr. Stu is in such... staunch contrast? Does that make sense?
Stark contrast.
Staunch. No. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Stark contrast.
You're like a staunch atheist.
Yeah, there you go. I'm like, that didn't make
but
any
sense. But this is like a stark contrast.
Yeah, stark. I'm like, that didn't sound right. But this total contrast to the doctor you were talking about today, like, it was interesting. We have like the best team.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Stu doesn't care who's there. He's like, who's on your team? Okay, great. You want to have 20 people at your birth? Great. Like, what's this person's role? You know, if you want to have your dogs there, great. Like, it's just cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But what I was saying to you at the break, which is I wanted to mention on this show, it's just he puts the ball in your court, power in your hands, and asks you to make a choice. Like, I was really torn between two awesome women that are both doulas that, man, you couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, they're both
great. Are amazing. One, I just had a little bit more of like a personal connection with because of a friend. And, I asked Dr. Stu, because he's worked with both of them personally. I said, I feel so bad. Like, I don't know how to make this choice. Like, if I were to make a choice, like, can you help me at all with any like information? And he wrote back, like, go with your feeling. Go with your feeling. That's what my doctor told me. It's so
That's
rad.
Awesome.
He's a medically trained doctor, but if you know anything about him,
he's
almost the farthest from what you'd think a medically trained doctor.
Yeah, he's very much an advocate for patient empowerment.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Not just women, because he's a OBGYN, but he no longer, you know, works in hospitals. So he just works directly with women. But, you know, he's a patient advocate for sure. Yeah.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
But he said, what doctor's going to text you? First of all, we have a text relationship. He'll text me and just be like, how are you doing? What are you thinking? You can text me in the middle of the night. It's like I've had access to him since the day we hired him as our doctor, the doctor to help our babies. But I just was so impressed, and it was cool. Like the conversation we had leading up to that, I was talking with you about it, and you said, because I was struggling with even asking Dr. Stu's opinion.
Right.
And you said, you got to be so like basically aware, I think, of what your choice is anyway, no matter what he says, it's not going to change the outcome of what you want, of what you know to be true, or what you desire.
I think I remember saying, like, you should be so aware that, like, if you are leaning slightly towards person A and Dr. Stu says, I like Dr. B or option B for you, you need to be so sure of yourself. You say, okay, thanks, doc, for your input. I was hoping you'd say A, but I really want to go with A anyway.
Right. And no matter what,
rather than
back
being persuaded or, you know, swayed from one side to the other.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that's, dude, that.
He handed me like the reins, you know, of my life. And he's like, go with your feeling.
That's
most
awesome.
Most people wouldn't like that answer. They'd be like, well, you got to tell me what to do.
No, it's like, take the training wheels off and do your own thing.
Yeah. put on your big girl panties and figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that I feel like as a culture, I don't know what it is. I just feel like as a culture, as something that we all should focus on is stop looking around, even listening to podcasts or listening to different people talk about different things. You know, they're all just offers and they're all just opinions.
Yeah,
it's no one, it's like, you know, how, you know, adults say that, you know, kids don't realize that like you never really grow up. You're just bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like this big, like inside secret that all adults have where kids think that like once you get to an adulthood, you're like an adult, but like really we're just the same as we're just more years. And I think that it's the same thing. It's like, we shouldn't constantly be looking like these people are the adults over us. Like whether it's a doctor, another podcast, a doctor talking on our podcast, there's so many people that say different things. I don't know what it is. I think all of us need to just be like, we've had people say on our show that oils are unnatural, like coconut oil.
I was just thinking.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, thank you very much, but I still eat my oil, and I'm willing to give you a platform and to say something like that because who knows, it may be right. But until I disagree with that or I agree with that in my own body, like, I don't know what it is. Like, we're just sitting collectively at the altar of these authority figures that we just give our life over to. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you.
Like, we're just seeking other people's opinion and other people's advice. And like, what is this medical doctor?
Well, this goes so deep, though. I mean, the minute that your child's born, you're running off to a pediatrician to get an answer, which can be helpful. I mean, it's good to get guidance.
But he's 3 ounces below the weight he should be.
Yeah, then they're not growing at this, and they're not doing this. And it's like, you know, and then people just buy into it. Like, they trust because they love that everyone loves their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, it's like you realize just how ingrained and entrenched you've been. Like, well, people don't realize, but you've gone through a whole schooling system leading up to that point of, you know.
Years of indoctrination, a lifetime.
Then you have this, you know, precious thing that you don't want to have a problem, and then you really buy into, like, you know, a system. And then as they get older, you want to keep doing the best for them, and you just keep going further and further and further.
Yeah, it just becomes a thing where when you're older in life, you're just completely subjugated to anyone who is smarter than you, more dynamic than you, or knows stuff that you don't know. Like, you completely just give everything over to someone rather than having a deep understanding of who you are. Like, we're so disconnected with who we are as a culture, as a society, as individual people. We don't know who we are, what we stand for, what's our mission, why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, we're disconnected from all that.
Yeah.
And when you understand all that, like, no one can say anything that's going to mess with you or going to disempower you or make you feel bad or make you, you know, when you truly understand your power and your role and why you're here and your mission, like, what could any other person who doesn't know any of that stuff about themselves say to you that's going to mess you up?
I know.
You know, like,
I know, standing so strong and
like true strong sense of character.
Right.
Like, you look at all the great people throughout history, and they were great because they understood those things.
Yep.
They knew who they were. They knew why they're here. They knew what their mission was, and they knew how to accomplish it. And either they got put to death for it, or they got assassinated because of it. But you didn't find anyone who really changed the world who was just sort of unsure about all that stuff. You know?
Right? Like, right.
These people, world changers, know that stuff.
Yeah, they come in with a mission. They know their mission, and they're willing to, like, live it out no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, and have such a high moral understanding of yourself. Mm-hmm. And there, and some people, it's possible, I think it's possible for all of us, if we don't know what that stuff, it's possible to get reconnected with yourself, to get on the path to understanding what all those answers are.
Yeah, I do.
That's what the whole goal of all this stuff is. Perfect health and growth and spirituality and personal development. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Is to understand who we are.
I think if you asked anybody off the street and took a poll of who knew their purpose, I bet like...
it'd be pretty low.
I bet like 5% of people would say, I know my purpose. Maybe.
And there's reasons for that. Society, TV, media, friends, family, being... Just trying to do everything they can to put doubts in your head about your true senses of, I have a sense about this treatment I should or shouldn't do.
Right.
I just have a feeling. I'm listening to this guy on the radio and I just don't like him that much.
Hmm.
But we're taught, no, just fight through it and it'll be okay. But we're not taught to really trust our gut.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah, I love when Oprah's done shows on that before with women who have been raped or, you know, unfortunately, receivers of violence, but most of them say they had a gut. There's this gut instinct,
yep,
connection, and they wish they would have listened to it because it did say run, or it did say this person was creepy, or it did say, like, get out of this. And
totally.
It's really hard. It's really hard to find that and stay in that place without, you know, being ridiculed or, you know, even with this, you know, because right now we're planning a home birth, if all goes well, which I'm trusting it will.
Mm-hmm.
And even I'm having a hard time, like, telling my parents that we're doing it at home and not at a birth center, you know?
They still think it's a birth center?
Yeah, like, I haven't told them. And I'm like, how silly am I? Like, yeah, here I am spouting all this stuff, but I get to practice just like anybody else.
Yeah, it's
like,
all practice.
Yeah, so I need to practice as much as anybody. So,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think we'll do another free fall one of these days and talk about our plan and our team.
Yeah, just kind of share. Yeah, and tomorrow we have another midwife appointment while Dr. Stu is out of town before this delivery, and I think it'd be kind of cool just to talk about some of the most recent, happenings with all this. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the birth too, but we'll focus on that more than cancer on the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
On life.
On life and not life.
Unlife.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, I just think it's so important to develop that internal compass of who you are. And part of part of why we created the Extreme Health Academy was for that, because there's a lot of spiritual principles in there. And, you know, I just think it's really important because we don't get taught any of these things, you know, like no one ever teaches you like who you are, what you're good at, follow your dream and understand your mission and have a deep sense of character and how does the body work and how to realign yourself with all that stuff. I mean, that's why we created the Academy, you know?
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. Go ahead.
It seems to be attracting all those kinds of people who are just encouragement in there. It's so cool. Like,
yeah,
it seems to be mostly filled with people that are all on an aligned journey. As mm-hmm. far as it's so encouraging to each other.
I know. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's really cool. It's, yeah. So if you guys don't know, I mean, maybe this is the first time you've been listening to this show, but we have an Extreme Health Academy, and that's it's a paid membership website. So it's only for those of you that really want to take your health to new levels, and are willing to invest, you know, what it costs every month to be a part of it. But, you know, it's an amazing place. It's something that like no other website is doing. There's no membership that is this robust and has this many moving parts and has this many people, has this much encouragement. I mean, it's the tool that you need to take your health to new levels, or to get the encouragement and the insights and the ideas to learn about how to avoid potential cancer issues like we're dealing with right now with my mom, and or what to do with about, you know, certain things if you do have them.
Totally.
You know, it's just an awesome place.
Yeah. So where do people need to?
So if you go to extremehealthacademy.com and if you put in the code EHR14, you'll get a free 14-day trial.
Sweet.
Yeah. So you can sign up, check it out, see if it's for you. And then, you know, hopefully stay on because, you know, the community itself is amazing. There's a whole forum of, you know, almost 1,000 people in there by now, of people that are just like you, just like us, all sharing things, supporting each other. So
we don't get to pick our family. We can pick our community the other way.
I know, right?
We're blessed and lucky to live in an area where we are actually surrounded by an actual community that seems to kind of get it.
Right.
You know, we have like all kinds of healers and places and, you know, people that we've worked with that are local and farms and things we believe in. But it's like, man, if you're in the middle of Podunkville, USA, mm-hmm. and you're family's eating fried chicken and you don't have any kind of encouragement about anything and you don't have a Whole Foods around the corner and you don't have a juice bar and you don't have like these amazing practitioners, like at least you have
or friends
like at least you can make friends and have like this online community. And man, mm-hmm. I've been so encouraged to watch people's conversations back and forth.
It's cool.
People actually really like love and care. They're approaching the forums with such like integrity, and
it's cool.
It's pretty amazing. I'm just blown away. Sometimes I get super teary because I read people's stories. People are like, keep going, you know, like
I know, it's really cool.
Oh man, where are you gonna get that, you know?
I know, just people that don't even know each other, but just know each other through this forum. And
rooting for each
There's something
other.
Powerful about community, you know, which is kind of why we wanted to put this whole thing together. But there's so much education. There's, you know, probably over 100 hours of education involved in this
already,
website.
Already, and it's only been up since January this year, 2018, yeah. Right?
So the latest course we just released was all about hormones. We have a whole one on digestion. And we take a vote every single month, so you guys get to vote, you know, on what course you want us to create next. So we create the course that wins, and then we create that course, and it's awesome. What's cool about it too is right now we're doing a challenge every single month,
right.
And people are winning prizes. So like only Academy members can win prizes. We're giving away like a sauna, giving away a rebounder, juicer, blender, Vitamix, like high level stuff. So
I know.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I think people are crazy to not sign up for the challenge, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to win these? I mean, these are like not like little bitty tiny.
Yeah, these are
prizes.
Really,
these are like high end, expensive things, tools. That,
yeah, in our store,
someone's winning them. Like, it's so cool.
Most of them are from our store.
Right.
And we've given away so many amazing prizes every single month.
Three a month, right?
Yeah, there's three prizes.
So we've had January, February, March, April, May. So that's a lot.
Yeah. 15 prizes or what, 4 or 12, but it's been incredible.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So if you want to, you know, if you want encouragement, if you want the motivation and inspiration, the community at extremehealthacademy.com is for you. And also you're going to get all kinds of education, live Q&A calls with Dr. Bergman, you, Kate, myself, members hangouts, which are also lives. So we all hang out together and support each other.
That's really fun.
That's a live thing every month, and we take your calls and we answer your questions, and the form is there. And it's just pretty soon we're going to make everything searchable, even all the audio and video searchable. And it's just lots of cool stuff happening. And also we're doing seasonal cleanses too. So, probably next time we'll do like a heavy metal cleanse or something like
that. It's not free. I mean, you have to invest in the product itself.
Yeah.
You go through it with a group of people. So.
If we had the company that created the product, we could offer that for free, but we just use other people's products and go through it as a group and support each other. So,
but you never know in the future.
Yeah, we might.
Metal be gone. That's what I'd call it.
Metal be gone. I love that.
Don't meddle with me.
Don't meddle with me. All right. So let me just make sure I got this show number correct. This 560
is 560-something?
568.
How are we there already?
Crazy, right?
Wow.
So there's not many show notes for today, but I'll put a link to the Academy and the code for you to use to get a free 14-day trial if you guys want to check that out.
That sounds awesome.
You do have to put your credit card in, but then you put in the code and it should reduce it down to zero for 14 days, and then you're off and running.
Dude, rad.
Yeah.
Stoked.
Yeah. I'm so proud of this thing.
I know. Well, blood, sweat, and tears, and time. I mean, this has been a probably 6-7 year thing in the making, the dream of getting this thing going, and it's going and it's thriving, and it's awesome to
watch cool.
expand.
Yeah, we're going to be releasing a gardening course, or not course, but
maybe a course.
Some quick tips videos that we do, like biohack videos, recipe videos, all kinds of stuff. It's just
we got lined up.
Workshops and live events, and it's cool.
Just beginning.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I'm excited.
All right, cool. So if you guys want to get access to that, go to extremehealthradio.com/568, which is the show page for today, 568. Extremehealthradio.com/568. And I'll put a link to the Extreme Health Academy as well as the coupon code there for you to get 14 days off. And thanks, guys.
14 days free.
14-day
trial.
Free trial.
Yeah,
that's right. You can check it out and join the forums and introduce yourself. And thanks, guys, for supporting us on Amazon. A lot of you guys do that. And thanks for thinking of us before you go to Amazon and clicking on the link on our website. And then for checking out our store, too, because that's how we keep this show free, how we do everything for free. So make sure to check out our store if you guys are interested in like the sauna, the rebounders, the IMRS pad, the... what is this called? The grounding sheet, the Magnetico sleep pad that we sleep on.
Glasses.
Everything.
Everything we use is in there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome store. So make sure to check out our store often if you want cutting edge products. And then some of you even go so far as to support us on Patreon. And that's like if you want to send $5 or $10 a month or $1 a month, you can do that on Patreon. So that's really, really awesome. We appreciate
these
that.
These shows free for the Extreme Health Radio shows.
Yep.
Which we're trying to... do more of. I'm sure there'll be a little glitch there when the twins actually come. We'll need to take a little time, but hopefully not much.
Yeah.
We'll be back up and running.
I think we'll be good to go.
All right.
All right, guys. Love you so much, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for sharing all that. I thought that was a really... I'm glad that you got that out.
Yeah, totally.
The story about your mom.
Oh, cool. Yeah, totally.
That's good.
All right, love you guys.
All right, love you guys. See ya.
Bye.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.